Good morning, everybody. Again, so good to be here with everybody. If you have been with us the last few weeks, again, I've been blessed with the opportunity to present the series for the month of May. We are in our conclusion. If you've been following along or if you haven't, I'll recap this quickly before I jump into opening us up in prayer. We've been going through a prayer series here for the month of May, going through the Lord's Prayer, how it applies to our lives, how we pray today. We broke it down in an acronym. For the first 3 weeks, it was P is praise, R is repent, A is ask, and today we are on yield, the last part. Breaking down the Lord's Prayer. Can you pull up Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, and then we'll pray. We'll read the prayer, and then we'll pray. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity once again to present your word. Lord, I pray that as we conclude this series, it's just one of many, it's just a bit of your word, but I pray that we'll go forth and do something important in our lives and change us. Lord, again, I pray that you'd be my divine wide out. Lord, I pray that my tongue would not utter anything that is not true. Lord, would you stop me in my tracks for anything that the flesh wants to say? Only by your Spirit, Lord. And I pray that we would be good ground, and we would be ready to go forth and do something good with your word, that we'd be no fat Christians. We absorb the word and we do nothing with it. I pray that we would be useful and be a wonderful scent to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I had a challenge for us all last week to fast something that the Lord told you to fast for the week. You don't have to show your hands, but did everyone fast? Was your fast good this week? Was it a challenge? Was it a challenge? Was it a challenge? Was it a challenge for me? Do you feel like you heard something from God, though? Do you feel like it prepared you? Did you feel a little extra attacked this week? My goodness. I am not someone, I've talked to my dad about this, but I am not someone who, I don't blame the devil for everything. There's not a demon under every rock. Sometimes it's just what happens in life and it's just circumstances. And other times, man, you know it's in a spiritual attack. Multiple doctor's visits today. If you haven't noticed, my beautiful wife and my children are not here today. Both kids battling the flu. It has been a tough week. Other people, some hospital visits and just other little controversies. Just the enemy was working hard to distract. And sometimes that's a sign that he knows. Because what was the fasting supposed to do? It was supposed to reveal what sustains us, reveal what comforts us, and reveal what we worship, the things that distract us and take space from the Lord. And if we are actively eliminating those things, the enemy is going to try to do other things to distract us. And I was looking forward to this morning knowing that the enemy didn't get to win. So hold fast that fast. If you're breaking it today, good for you. But I pray that the Lord revealed something to you. I pray that the Lord hears us. But we are doing the last bit, yield, today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yield. How we pray. We praise him always. We repent daily. We ask for the daily provisions and we seek the Lord diligently and we yield in our praying. How do we yield in our praying? Here's our first point for the morning. Point one, how we yield to the Lord in our prayers. No, you can pull that back up. No, you're good. Point number one, submitting to God. He'll be there in a moment. Point number one, if you're taking notes, submitting to God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, this is a twofold prayer. This is both a prayer that God's Spirit and reign would advance in the hearts and lives of people today by the finished work of Jesus and the commissioning of his church, as well as a prayer for the return of the bridegroom to his bride, that all things would be made new. That's what that portion is praying, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is asking that heaven would come, that Jesus would return, but it is asking that as it is in heaven, as God's will is unmistakable, would be done here and now while we wait for his return. It is asking that what God wants would be done. And so what we are praying when we are yielding to God is that we would be submitted to God. When you yield to something, like say you're dueling in a fight, right? And you're losing, or the guy's losing, there's a loser involved. He, instead of dying, he's like, I yield, right? And throwing up the hands to surrender. I yield. I don't want to die, so instead I'm going to say, you won, you bested me, good job. And that's not what the Lord is doing to us. But yielding is recognizing that we're not in authority. Often our prayers ask God to satisfy our wishes. And we make up cliches like, the Lord is my co-pilot. That's not necessarily terrible, but the Lord should just be the pilot. We shouldn't be asking the Lord to bless our path. We should be saying, where is the Lord's path? Instead of asking God to be the co-pilot, we should be like, where's the train? I need to get on it. Because he's not going to stop what his plans and purposes are for me to do my will. A very frequent way that we try to manipulate God in our prayers is, if you do this for me, Lord, if you just do this one thing, I'll go to Africa. The Lord is not a Lord that can be manipulated. You cannot change or make an oath to change a single hair on your head to gray. I'll never know. And my beard, I guess, which it is going gray. But Jesus did not come to help your favorite sports team win. What a silly prayer. One that as a teenager I prayed. And as an adult, I'm like, silly. Because what's he going to do if there's a Christian kid praying on the other side of the field? He don't care. I almost included the meme. I'm like, that's too cheesy, but I'm going to say it anyways. I saw this meme of this football player. He got a touchdown. He's like, that was for you, Lord. And in heaven, he's watching hockey instead. that was for you guys. The Lord is a hockey fan. It's the closest we can get to walking on water, right? But the Lord does not care about the laundry we root for. But he does not also equally care about our plans and our purposes. When we ask the Lord, we are asking for those provisions and we are asking that he would move on our behalf. But he is not asking us to bless a thing that he is not dedicated. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. The freedom we get in Christ from our sin did not come with the freedom to act a fool. Christ does not belong to us. We belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. Obviously, the Corinthians needed to get this in their head a little bit. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Here, Paul is reiterating to the Corinthians, first in chapter 6, now chapter 10, that we were made free, but that does not mean the Lord is going to bless what we want in our freedom. The Lord says, all things are lawful, but why would you do things that are just going to beat you up more? Yeah, you don't have chains on you anymore. You want to be bruised and beaten down? And how this applies to our prayers, we see here in verse 24, don't seek your own good, but seek the good of your neighbor. Our prayers should not be individualistic when we're yielded and submitted to God. It says, God, what is your plans? What are your purposes? As a believer, our prayer should not be that God bless our plans, but that we should desire to know and be participants in God's work. What God wants from us is a submitted heart. Let me, as my dad likes to use music, as you've seen, I'm sure in this series, I like movie quotes. I have too many of them stored in my head. There will be times when people just say a word and somehow that word will trigger in my head a movie quote. And I'll have to, in my head or out loud, quote that movie quote. Almost like, what am I on the spectrum a little bit? Like, it's in there and it has to come out. Like, oh, you said that? Like, I have to say it. But so let me give you some insight on what I think of when we have to submit our hearts to God. Has anyone seen the movie Count of Monte Cristo? Oh, man, such a good movie. Not many hands. I love it when there's not many hands when I say a movie quote. Oh, man. Okay. So the movie Count of Monte Cristo, fantastic movie. I highly recommend it, right? So there's a man who is wrongly accused. He's used as a scapegoat to all these bad people, like all these bad plans that they use this one man as a scapegoat. And he's thrown into prison. Forever. And it's 1500s, somewhere around there. Yeah, French Revolution. What's his name? Little Man. Yeah, Napoleon. I don't know. But at that time, well, he escapes the prison and he's got this big plan to get revenge, get this vast treasure. But first, when he escapes this prison, he ends up on a shoreline where there's pirates. And this man, his name is Edmond Dantès. And he's played by Jim Caviezel, right? Which is fitting because he also plays Jesus in The Passion. And when he gets to this beach, and there's these pirates, and the pirates have a dilemma. And they're like, hey, we got this guy over here who was stealing something from us, didn't share it equally, so we have him buried in the sand up to his head, and we're going to just kill him. Well, you show up, and some men want to give him mercy, some men want him dead. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have you fight him, and whoever wins stays with the crew. And he fights him. It's cool. Wee-wee fighting, you know. Well, the two don't die. And the one guy who was his name is Jacopo. Jacopo is the pirate who stole stuff and he was going to get killed. Well, Jim Caviezel's character could have killed him, was on top of him, had the sword on him. He said, hey, don't move. I got a plan. And Jacopo's like, okay. And Jim Caviezel's character, Jesus in another movie, says, hey, give this man mercy. Let us both be in your crew. And so Jacopo, recognizing the mercy he received, says, I swear on the grave of my dead ancestors and even the ones who ain't feeling too good, I am your man forever. That was all that just for that. But here's the point. So throughout the whole movie, Jacopo dedicates himself to Jim Caviezel's character, Edmond Dantès, Jesus in another movie, forever. He recognizes mercy, and instead of saying, sweet, thanks for the mercy, I'm going to go steal stuff again, totally changes himself, submits to be the bondservant of this guy, Edmond Dantès, Jim Caviezel, who also at this point gets called Zatada, which means driftwood. It's very funny. Lots of names. Where are my notes? It's a great movie. Just watch the movie. Just watch it for me. What I'm getting at is what Jesus is looking for is men and women who say, I am your man forever. God is not looking for people who said, thank you for that freedom. Thank you for your forgiveness. Can you please now do everything I want? Thank you very much. He is looking for people to be submitted to his plan, and that's what yielding means. Instead of our prayers being, what do I want? What does the Lord require of me? Matthew 26, verses 36 through 45. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying numbers. Then Jesus, speaking about numbers, what's going on this morning? Then Jesus went ate with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. This was Jesus praying for that last time alone in the garden, knowing what was going to come, knowing that he was about to take on the brutality of the crucifixion for our sake. He knew what was coming. Because again, him being one with the Father, all God, all man, he knew what was going to happen. All the beating he was going to take, the sin he was going to take on, the carrying of the cross, he knew it was going to come. In Luke's account of this story, in his gospel, it said he sweat drops of blood in his sorrow and in his anguish, knowing what he was about to take on. Jesus, in this moment, being all God and all man, the weakness of the flesh, the mortal flesh, was asking for a way out. Yet he said, not my will, but your will, Father. Jesus, to the point, said, is there another way? I can't bear it. But again, not my will, but your will be done. And if our Savior had that moment of weakness, yet submission to the Father, whenever we have our own temptations and our walks in faith, when we have to make stands or decisions that are difficult or unpopular to make, Jesus is not a high priest who's unsympathetic, but there is a God who still asks that of us. I know it's going to be hard. Lord, this is going to suck. If there's another way for it to happen, but not my will, but your will be done. And that's what submitting to the Lord in yielded prayer looks like. There's going to be times that following Christ is going to be such a hard, weighty thing to do. But when we remember and recognize the goodness of God for us, how can we not say, I am your man forever. You can count on me. My integrity will uphold me. Your faithfulness will uphold me. And I am submitting myself to your plan because your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's point number one, submitting to God in yielded prayer. Another way that we yield to the Lord in prayer is praying without ceasing. Point number two, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So there you go. So Paul says it pretty plainly. Just pray without ceasing. Just, you know, don't stop praying. And this is a list of other things he's telling the Thessalonians to do. He's got a list, you know, do this, do that, also pray without ceasing. And he doesn't stop there. He doesn't explain that. He just says to pray without ceasing. That's a difficult task to do. Almost impossible, right? Especially as it's connected with Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 8. If we want to pull that up, like I said, this is the prayer chapter. If you recognize Matthew 6, this is the prayer chapter that we've been going through as the Lord demonstrates other ways to pray. He says here, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So when we pray, we shouldn't be throwing up empty words so that we sound nice. When we come for corporate prayer, we shouldn't sound elegant or awesome so that we can get clout with one another here to think how spiritual we are, to chant things or to make ourselves sound spiritual. That's foolishness to the Lord. Corporate prayer is important so that we build up one another and that we would edify the body and we can pray for one another that we might be healed and we can encourage one another. But if we blabber on so that we think we sound great, the Lord doesn't even hear that. So how are we supposed to pray without ceasing, though, if we're not supposed to just throw up empty words? That seems like a conundrum a bit, right? No, this type of prayer, prayer without ceasing, as I studied and I realized that the Lord is talking about union and communication. Union and communication with Him. When we yield ourselves to God, we come in union with Him. When we said, we made the decision, we were baptized, we want to become disciples of Jesus, we're becoming a new creation, but we're also part of a new family. If you'll read and study your word, there are many references as to us being the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, of one plant with many branches. So our faith is very communal. We're a togetherness. So we die to ourselves and we become a new creation. But that new creation is in community with one another. Well, that's also in community with Christ. We are in constant relationship with Him. Again, we don't use our freedom to act a fool. We don't get salvation, say, awesome, clean slate. I'm going to go just do what I was doing before. No, it's a transforming of who we are. And so in that communication with the Lord, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. And how we pray without ceasing and how we're in union and communication with the Lord is through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've read the book of Acts and you've experienced the Holy Spirit, you see that on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and the whole church after Jesus left, He said, hey, I'm peacing out, but I'm going to send you the Helper. And this is an introduction of the third head of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came and filled every disciple and is active throughout the book of Acts and active today. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if you've not heard this taught before, it's very important, something we believe here in the church. There is the baptism of water, which is an outward declaration of something you've done inward, which is saying, hey, I received Jesus and I believe He's died for my sins and I'm going to live for Him as a disciple. But then there is a second baptism, and you'll also read that in Acts, as the disciples would lay hands on one another to receive the Holy Spirit. And this is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know more about that or experience that, that is very real and is very active today. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is like a whole new, here's what I tell people. This is my analogy for the Holy Spirit, right? Before Christ, we were a phone, but it's dead. No battery, nothing, right? Salvation is, hey, it's charged up now. It is a new creation. It is now alive in Christ. But it's got no internet. The Holy Spirit is now, hey, it's got Wi-Fi now. It is connected in the network of believers and be able to tap into the presence of God to be able to access things you would not have therefore been able to. You are alive in new creation, but you're missing out on amazing opportunities if you do not have the Holy Spirit. And this is a very real, to sound very weird part of our beliefs, because you're like, what does that mean? Ooh, Holy Spirit, praying tongues, shabada habada hibada habadi. No, it's not shabada habada hibada habadi. There are gifts in the Holy Spirit to edify the body and see live transformation. In fact, the praying of tongues, I'm going to call out my sister-in-law, wherever she might be, but they wanted a mission trip to LA, and she didn't speak much Spanish. And she started being able to communicate with these people who spoke Spanish through praying in tongues and to be able to connect with them. That is what the gift of tongues is, not shibbity habbity hibbity, but to be able to break the barrier of language that was broken at Babel when man said, hey, we're going to do this thing in our name and our image. And he had to break the communication. And when man came together and submitted to God, said, hey, we are unifying under Christ. He said, let me reunify language for you. And that's what tongues does. Apostle John, our big Samoan pastor friend, who's come here before, was praying in tongues once in an airport because he felt the Lord say to, and Japanese people came up to him crying, saying, what is this Jesus you're talking about? And that is what the Holy Spirit does and is today. And if you are not hearing that or wanting that, you're missing out on things that God wants to do. We are known by our fruits, the Bible says, and that is loving one another. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience. But we also are able to build up the the case for Christ by doing the things that he did. He said, greater things will you do in the earth. And that does not mean sitting here and going like this for a few songs. And that's what praying without ceasing is communication and a oneness with the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, 4 through 6. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We are to die to ourselves, to yield to the Lord, so that he would live within us to be the newness and new creation of the Lord. So praying without ceasing is this. Our flesh, our inner monologue, the sinful creation that we are, starts to be removed. Where our inner monologue, when we think our thoughts, you hear your voice in your head, and you talk with yourself, and you get grumpy about things, or you're insecure, or you're afraid, you're jealous, or you're mad, and you let that voice die. And then the Holy Spirit becomes your inner monologue. And you are communicating now with the Holy Spirit in prayer. That is prayer without ceasing. You let the inner man die so that Christ would live. And that communication within yourself is praying without ceasing. If this isn't landing, let me give another movie example. Hopefully more widespread. Who has seen the movie Ratatouille? More hands! Yeah! For those who have not seen it, it is a Disney animated Pixar film about a rat. Stop it. So there is a little rat who likes to cook, but he can't because he's a rat and he will not be accepted into fancy French cuisine. Oh, both my movies happen in France. Oui, oui. And so he finds a guy who can't cook but works in a restaurant, and the rat can cook, but the guy can't cook. And they form a relationship that somehow the rat is able to control this man by pulling on his hair, somehow connecting to his central nervous system. But he still cannot be exposed because he is still, in fact, a rat. Good thing fancy French chef headwear is very tall. So the rat sits on top of this guy's head. His name is Linguini, by the way. He sits on top of Linguini's head with the chef's hat, and he's pulling on his hair so he can cook. What I'm getting at is we should let the Holy Spirit ratatouille our lives. I'm glad the second one landed a lot better. Oui, oui. God bless the French. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Remy, I mean the Holy Spirit, who runs me. Romans 12:2 says, and I don't have this up, Bob, don't worry. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are in a process of yielding ourselves to the Lord. We are in a process of being transformed. We are in a process of pushing out the old man, pushing out the world so that we can be unified with Christ. That was what our fasting challenge was. Everything that sustains me, everything that comforts me, everything that I worship, I push that aside so I can be transformed, so that my inner monologue is no longer my voice or the voice of the world, but the Holy Spirit being renewed and being louder and getting stronger within me. I yield myself, and therefore I pray without ceasing. I am communication and union with Christ. And that is praying without ceasing. Point number three on how we yield ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Listening. Point number three is listening, how we yield ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes yielding is just simply listening. How many conversations do you have that only one person talks and you never get a word in? There's a few of those, right? If you can't think of a person in your life that you only have to listen and you don't get to speak, you might be the speaker and not a listener. But you know who we do that to a lot? Is God. God, I want okay, bye. God, I want this, I want that. Give me these promises. Pray persistently. You said pray persistently. Absolutely. But then we also have to listen. God wants to speak. And we do not practice listening. Prayer does not end when we say amen. We should allow God to speak, ask us questions, and reveal his spirit. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 18. There he, meaning Elijah, this was, I'll leave that to history, it's not important. I want to, but I won't. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out, stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and I seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Now, Elijah goes to the cave, and God puts a little test before him. The grandness of the wind that can break the mountain, the earthquake, the fire. And God wasn't in any of those things. And then God whispered. And Elijah wasn't thrown away or distracted by the grand gestures. He recognized the voice of God in the whisper. And he allowed God to ask him a question. And Elijah responded, and then he listened. And he got the answer that he was looking for. God wants to speak, but he needs us to listen. That sounds so simple, but sometimes can be so hard when there are winds that break mountains, and there's fires, and there's earthquakes in your life. But God is not in those. You have to take the time to listen. Meditative prayer is essential. Not meditation in the world, but meditative prayer is important. Sometimes my time dedicated to the Lord in prayer is just listening. Just saying, "Speak, you, Lord, your servant's listening." And just sit and listen to what the Lord has to say. Try to drown out all the distractions. Because in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Joshua would not leave the tent. He saw God speak to Moses, and he knew he was going to be the next leader, and he knew, I need everything I can get. And even after Moses, the leader at the time, left, Joshua sat to just listen. The Lord wants to be listened to, and we do not give him that time. We see a small piece right now, but the Lord wants to reveal more. We're seeking for ourselves, but the Lord wants to speak kingdom principles if we'll listen. The Lord is not interested in your life alone. He has plans for you to be part of the tree, part of the body, part of the bride. The thing that grows on its own, doing what it wants, is cancer. To be part of a body is to grow together. So you have to listen to God. He wants to speak bigger than you realize. To Elijah, he was going there and saying, I am being pursued. I'm going to get crushed. I alone am left. And what was God's answer when he finally listened? No, I've got plans for you to transform all of Israel. And I've got 7,000 out there if you pay attention to them. And Joshua said, I see what you're doing for Moses, but Lord, I need so much more. And he went on to be the leader that established Jerusalem. Well, not Jerusalem, but the Hebrew people in Canaan. He wants to speak more than the little things that we're asking for if we'll listen. We need to desire hearing God's voice over all voices. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Later on, verse 8 or 14, it says, "And the light and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," which was Jesus. And this is proof of the incarnation of the Trinity, that Jesus is and was with the Father in the beginning, because he was the Word. But the Word of God was what created all and was in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, how did God create? Was it with his hands? It was with his Word, and he spoke it into existence. Everything. His Word is within us, each of us. His name, even Yahweh, is breath. So God's Word itself needs to be so much more important to us than we even realize. All of creation was made through it, and we need to discern what's his Word versus what's the world. John 10, 1 through 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. When we listen and practice listening to God in our prayers, we get in tune with hearing him. Everyone who has young kids, little tiny babies. Babies cry all the time, right? But you as a parent, you recognize your baby's cry, right? Right, Christian? You know Teddy's cry over Noah's cry. Jordan, you know Noah's cry over Teddy's cry. You just know your own kid's voice because you're so connected with them. When you're out and about just doing your own thing and you're running errands and you're like, I hear a familiar voice because I spent time with that person. It breaks through all the chatter of what else is going on because you recognize a familiar voice. The enemy when tempting Jesus, used scripture out of context. So the enemy knows what's in the Bible, and he will pervert it. That's why recognizing the intention and the heart of God and his voice need to be important to us. So we need to spend time listening so we are aware of and discern the voice of God. Our prayers need to involve listening. As part of those who know, my dad raised me and Jordan with a knighthood training program, one I am very grateful for. I plan to implement with my son. But one of the nights that was set aside as like a ceremonial night for my training, we were out on a large piece of property at the end of Meridian Road, and it was dark, pitch black out there. I was given candle, flashlight, something like that. Something. And I was 10, 9, young. Young that if I got lost, it probably would have been a bummer. But yeah. But part of the training was in the middle of the night when my dad went off. I was staying inside the house. He said, I'm going to go off, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to come and find me. But if you find yourself getting lost or scared or unaware, just say, Dad, where are you? And I'll say, I'm here, son. And the object of the lesson was, when it's dark all around and you can't see his face because he's not here with us now, you can still hear his voice if you listen. He wants to be heard. And we need to practice this. Now, young people who are between 18 and 35-ish, Pastor Jody practices this with about all the time. And I'm telling you, God speaks all the time. There will be just sessions of practicing, listening to God and encouraging one another. Lord knows it's effective. I cry every time because the Lord speaks, because he wants to speak to his people, sometimes through his people, to both encourage those listening that they hear from God and also to edify the body, because that is the purpose. Again, we don't listen to God so we just feel so holy. We're not fat Christians. We just absorb everything and just keep it to ourselves. He's not a God of empty calories. He's a God of plans and purposes. So listening is for a purpose. But I encourage you to practice listening to the Holy Spirit. And that is a way of yielding in our prayer. Point number 4, and my final point for this series. I've enjoyed this very much, this challenge and this opportunity. I hope God's be able to speak to you through it. Well, in due time. Point 4, laboring. When we pray and yielding ourselves to God, God does not want us to just be observers, but we are called to be active participants. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What was Jesus doing there? Was that a prayer to pass responsibility onto somebody else? Or was that a prayer of faith for his own disciples? Too many times, and I've been trying to practice this, so I'm guilty of myself. I'm not saying I don't do this and making myself a hypocrite, but this is something I've actively been trying to change in myself. Whenever somebody's going through something, I'm like, oh, I'll pray for you. How many times do you actually pray? 25% of the time? So I've been changing it to say, let's pray. And I'll right then and there pray for them. Because I will forget, because I'm a very forgetful person. But I've been trying to practice praying in the moment. But furthermore, how many times do we see somebody that we could positively affect? Say, I hope the Lord sends somebody to them. Why is our prayer not, Lord, is it me? Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the... And I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. There is work to be done. And our prayers should not just be requests, but also preparations for our own calling to build us up before we step out. We have mighty women going to Africa this summer who heard God call and they said, here I am, send me. We got our group who are going to Uganda and we got Precious Smiley going to Tanzania, right? And I'll tell you right now, some of you don't pray this prayer because you don't want God to send you to Africa. It's a famous thing, like, I give my life to Jesus, but I'm afraid he's going to send me to Africa. And some of them, guess what? He's sending them to Africa. But God will not put you somewhere that he has not called you or assigned you for. He will prepare you. One of my favorite Christian cliches that I do believe is, the safest place for you to be is within God's will, wherever that is. It doesn't always mean your body will be safe. I mean, Miley's team, thank God, at the last mission trip they went to, they didn't get malaria, but they said they were the only camp that didn't. Your body is not the ultimate prize of safety. It's your soul. It's your spirit. So God will send you if you pray this sometimes, but God will prepare you for it. However, I will say, some of you have prayed this prayer and you aren't doing it because it wasn't Africa he called you to. Some of you have been waiting for God to call you to Africa, and he didn't. And you're waiting for a big call in order to activate the obedience in your life. Some of you have belittled the assignment here and now he is giving you because you deem it unimportant. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Our assignment is not always Africa. Sometimes it's what's right in front of us, and we don't even recognize it. When you did it for your kids, when you did it for your coworkers, when you did it for your students, when you did it for the cashier, when you did it for your enemy, when you did it for someone you deemed unworthy, when you changed your perspective and gave love instead, you did it for me. The harvest is both far and near, and we need to pray that we will recognize our assignment and then go. No matter how far or how near, whether it's in your house or in another country, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in Apache Junction. Your will be done in the Kaposi household. Your will be done in the Lujan household. Your will be done in XYZ household. Your will be done in our schools and our workplaces. Your will be done wherever my feet touch, Lord, wherever those are called to. Because that is the purpose of our prayer, right? So we praise the Lord and we recognize his goodness and his glory and his favor upon us. And we repent, preparing our spirits, knowing that if we try to send ourselves out with cracks and holes and rot in our foundation, it would crack and fall and we would not be those received by the Father as we hold on to our sin. So we let go of those things. We ask, Lord, provide what we need, because our mission is not what I want. It is yielding ourselves to the Father to go out and accomplish what his will is in the earth. Prayer is preparation to go So here is my final application for this series. If you are interested, and I'm going to ask, can we have some music to just make it less awkward and make me sound nice? I'm going to ask, if you are unfamiliar with the Holy Spirit and either have questions about it, or you would like to participate in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to enter into a whole new realm of your walk with the Lord, I'm going to ask the pastors to come up. If you would like prayer for that, we'll have a time of prayer. So you can either ask questions or to pray and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So application 1, 2, just practice listening to God. And 3, pray that the Lord will reveal your assignment to you where you have pushed it off, either fear that he'll send you something too big or fear that it's not big enough, that you will recognize and have wisdom for your assignment. And then this week, go do it. Go listen to the Lord. So right now, if you will stand with me, and as the pastors would like to come up, I will close us in prayer, and then if you want to just take a time to listen to God, if you're not coming up for prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please don't leave yet. Take a moment to just listen. This is instrumental music, so there's no words to even be distracted by. Just practice listening for a few moments. And then when the music changes, we will go off, and we go off to do what we're going to do for the rest of the day. I pray you be blessed doing it. But right now, take a moment to listen. Please come on. But I'm going to close this in prayer and then you take that moment. Father God, I thank you so much for your church, for your house, that we get to worship you together here. Lord, I pray that we would never, ever, ever forget the blessing that we have to live in this country, to worship you freely like this. I pray that we would not take it for granted, but we would worship you in spirit and truth.